We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome inside the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am the host, as always. And joining me today are my guys, Tyler and Alex. Tyler, we'll start with you, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. I'm deliriously excited for this. One, because it could be really great, or it could be truly terrible. two, because it was my idea. So if it's great, hey. If it's awful, definitely blame me. And three, there's a chance that Kyle Van Noy is going to DJ my wedding. So, you know, things are a little interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, Kyle Van Noy is very interactive on social media, and we always appreciate that. And I think more players, you know, could stand to, you know, positively impact their brand if they would do things like that. But when he tweeted that out, I saw a couple people respond, and he was like, oh, that's funny. And then to Tyler, he was like, give me some more information. I could be down. And I was like, oh, shit, let's go.
Yeah, no, so I have his email now, and in a year, I might have my reception DJed by Kyle Van Noy. So didn't think I'd be saying that today, but I'm happy.
Yeah, hopefully he has a second contract with the Chargers at that point as well.
Yes.
Alex is here as well, man. Alex, how you doing tonight?
Doing good today. And look, I mean, if Kyle Van Noy doesn't come through, you can always just put Steven right in, you know, and no one will notice the difference.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure people who attend the wedding will know that it's the difference, because I would just, you know, stick on the Office DJ Apple playlist and call it good. I'm not that passionate about DJing at weddings. So,
you know, that's all we need, man. And if you do it for free, even better.
I would do it for free for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we have a really fun episode planned. Like Tyler mentioned, we are going to have some dueling drafts about the players that have been on the Chargers since 2013, aka the Tom Telesco era. So at first, when we thought this, when Tyler thought of this idea, I thought he was talking about only players that Tom Telesco had drafted. But then really, we'd be talking about like one of us not having a quarterback at all, because it's only been Justin Herbert and Easton Stick, obviously. So we are including players like Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, as Tyler mentions in the chat, Brian Bulaga, Thomas Davis, any of those players, right? But you're not getting those players since 2013, if that makes sense. So you're not getting Thomas Davis from 2013. If you choose Thomas Davis, you are getting 2018 or 2019 Thomas Davis, excuse me. So should be a fun exercise. We are going to do a snake draft. Tyler's going to have a random order generator. So we do not know the order in which we are picking. So obviously that means whoever picks third is going to be stuck with Tyrod Taylor or I don't know, man, Geno Smith, maybe anyone. I don't know.
Riley brought up the name Mike Bercovici, which I had not heard in a very long time.
Yeah. It's been years.
Maybe you want to, you know, take a chance on Cardale Jones upside. We also did talk about players with injury history, and it really is just kind of up for debate for really how much you want to deal with that. So I think really the most notable one there is going to be Jason Verrett, to see who wants to kind of take a chance on those injuries. I can't imagine Brian Bulaga is going to be picked in this, although I guess maybe the tackle group is kind of bleak from the last 9 years of this franchise. So I think I got all of the qualifiers, unless I missed something.
That sounds about right to me. Just so everyone, you know, understands, this isn't Gates' entire career. It's just 2013 right. to when he retired. So we'll see. I'm actually curious how people respond to this. I don't know what age range we have here of our listeners. Like, does half our audience know who Jackie Battle is? Or, I mean, were they even fans while they're in San Diego? I don't know. I'm curious to see how the chat reacts. Actually, chat, just drop whenever you became a fan of the Chargers. Let us know what year, give or take, was that.
Yeah, so it should be fun. All right, so since we have all the ground rules up, let's get the order solidified. Very, very good, very good. So obviously, this first name will be to determine who gets the first overall pick. So Tyler, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. First overall pick.
Nice Star Wars music in the background.
Very good.
Tyler gets the first pick.
That's fantastic. I really didn't want to pick first.
Really not rigged.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how you can set these things to be rigged. No,
you know, so if we're really talking, like, obviously, you know, first you get the pick of the quarterbacks, but I think from like overall strategic standpoint, that weight can be a little rough once you get down the whole list of the rosters. So all right, let's see who's picking number two.
All right, let's see who gets stuck with Tyrod Taylor.
Also, that
you don't have to take over. You do Wildcat with like Ronnie Brown or something.
Easton Stick, man, come on.
Oh man, that was
yes close. I do not have to pick the lower quarterbacks.
Awesome, we're not losing the poll. All right. Awesome.
All right. So obviously this means that Tyler gets the first pick. I am picking second, and then Alex gets to figure out. Hey man, you get the whole draft to think about it because you don't have to take the quarterback as long as you want.
Just don't talk to me. Just shut up.
Okay, Tyler.
There you go.
All right.
So as you saw from the other screen, we are going to have a timer. Obviously, we can't do this many picks and just kind of talk about it for however long we want, or we'd be here all night long. So we get 45 seconds for the first 15 picks, and then we get 30 seconds after that. So we get a little bit of a speeded up pace. So for those of you who are just now joining, looks like we got a recent bump. So we are doing a draft of the Tom Telesco era, meaning any player that's been on the Chargers since 2013. But you're getting them in that current status that they joined the team or from 2013 on. Mm-hmm. So should be fun. Tyler has the first pick. Tyler, let's start off, man.
Just real quick for the people that are asking, you know, does the sign of the line matter or can they be a tackle or a guard? To me, it's just whatever they played for the Chargers. So like Filer isn't a right tackle to me yet, I suppose. He's a left guard. DJ Fluker, I suppose, could be right guard, right tackle, but keeping it where they were projected or where they actually played for the Chargers. Okay. I'm sorry. Like I got the first pick. So this is, it's Justin Herbert. I wish I could say it were Rivers. And if I went second, obviously I'd be happy to have him. But Justin Herbert is the most talented quarterback the Chargers have ever had. Philip Rivers was amazing between 2013 and 2019. He was a top 10 quarterback in EPA per play and CPOE. So fantastic. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. But for this exercise, I got to go with Justin Herbert.
Yep. No, I think that's absolutely the right call. It's what I would say as well. And I think, you know, the way you put it, you know, you're talking about Philip Rivers, but, you know, who's consistently a top 10 quarterback. Really only had like one or two seasons where he was an elite guy. Whereas mm-hmm. with Justin Herbert, we already have an elite guy, getting an elite guy probably for the next 10, 15 years. So I think that's the right call, and obviously that will lead me to take Philip Rivers with the second overall pick. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah, amazing, for sure. And whole careers, like if it were a whole career, I would actually consider taking Philip Rivers first. I might have, honestly, but just for this time span, it's got to be Herbert.
Yeah, and a recent Senior Bowl Hall of Fame member, Philip Rivers. So
there you go. Good stuff.
All right, so I think this is the first time where we have to use the clock. Really interested to see where Alex goes here. He gets two picks back-to-back. You know, so some silver lining with your potential dealing with Tyrod Taylor down the line.
Lose the poll by 40 points.
So Tyler, let's get the 45 seconds up on the clock if you could. And then once you are ready to go, Alex can start his debate and who he wants to go with.
Okay. I mean, there's a couple people you could go with here. I think Tyler kind of listed on his poll Bosa, Derwin, and Keenan Allen. I, for the sake of value past the quarterback position, I'm going to go with Joey Bosa at edge here. Obviously, the best Chargers pass rusher of the Telesco era. And, you know, you just kind of lock up your edge spot there. That probably leads someone to taking Melvin Ingram a little bit later. But yeah, I feel like starting off with Joey Bosa just sets the defense, especially because as we go on in this draft, the defense more so than the offense is going to get really thin. So I will start with Joey Bosa.
Good call. Are you going to type it in yourself? Or
okay. I did. Forgot I could do that. Oops. All right. I will go with Joey Bosa as my first pick. And as my second pick, I'm going to take Rashawn Slater.
You bastard.
I wrote him under QB. Oops. But I'm going to take Rashawn Slater because Steven was going to do it. And you know what, Steven? You really stuck it to me yesterday. So I'm just going to take Rashawn Slater. But he is the best Chargers left tackle, obviously, of the Telesco era, building out that offensive line. I could go for Keenan Allen here, theoretically, if I wanted to. But left tackles are more valuable. So I would use that into building my team.
No, I think that's absolutely the right call. Obviously, you know, I think there's a really interesting debate between, you know, Joey Bosa, Rashawn Slater, and Derwin James. That's how I personally would have the number three pick. And if I had the number three pick, I would have taken Rashawn Slater with that first one, just because, I mean, you're talking about an all-pro player, Pro Bowl player as a rookie, and you're talking about, you know, top three left tackle right away. So this is going to put me in an interesting spot. But Tyler, what do you think of Alex's two picks?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping, just because it's funny, that he would take Rashawn Slater. But look at Alex going for the trenches. Joey Bosa should have been one of those two picks for sure. And then, you know, I could have gone either way. But if we're talking about, you know, maybe 1 year as a left tackle, the Chargers have some options for sure. But if we're talking about building a team and moving forward as a team, Rashawn Slater is the guy at left tackle who's just going to give you value last year, value this year, and moving forward. So that he is a significantly better pick at left tackle than some of the other guys.
Yeah, and you're talking about a left tackle and right tackle list, depending on how you want to see them, right? That's going to dry up quick. So I think Alex made the right call having to wait in a few picks, because – you know, if I didn't take him here, you would have taken him next, probably. So
100%.
Good call. Or you can go ahead and start my clock.
Okay.
And I think this is a really interesting debate when you're talking about Derwin James versus Keenan Allen, because you're talking about, obviously, one of the best safeties, if not the best. I think he's the best safety in the league. And he covers up so much ground for you in a variety of ways. And I think we're really going to see that come to fruition this year. Versus, you know, a borderline top five wide receiver over the last 4 or 5 years. Obviously had a legitimate argument for rookie of the year right out the gate after Tom Telesco drafted him in 2013. And really was the only bright spot of those first two Tom Telesco seasons. And then, of course, he got hurt. But ultimately, I am going to go with Derwin James. I think he covers up more areas for you. And I think he's just a more premium athlete, premium player. So I'm going to go with Derwin James with my second pick.
I am deliriously excited that you went with Derwin James. I would have gone elsewhere, and I will go elsewhere, but that's a good call for sure. I'm actually surprised you – didn't you say you wouldn't take Derwin James in the top five? Like,
then I changed my mind, because
I get you.
I have a certain strategy later on that you'll see.
Oh, okay.
Spoiled that strategy I just spoiled your first strategy.
No. Nice. Did you type in Derwin James? Because I just see a gray.
I did.
Nothing miss.
But I mean,
I think you click off there of it go. And then it loads.
There you go.
Cool. Alrighty. So now it's my turn.
It is, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm really, really great at this. Okay. My third overall pick, to be completely honest, in my big board was Keenan Allen. I am going to go with Keenan Allen here. If you're talking about who defines Chargers history from 2013 to now, it really is Keenan Allen. And I believe, and I don't believe, I looked it up, he has more first downs generated, granted, over a longer span than Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, and Hunter Henry as receivers do combined. Like this guy, and he, I think he's like 40 more first downs too. This guy's amazing. And if he keeps up his pace this year for first downs generated, he will pass Antonio Gates for his entire career. First downs generated, like you're getting a great player then, in the middle, now, moving forward. I've watched him. I think he's just fantastic. I watched him versus Mike Williams as well. And I think Keenan Allen is a far superior wide receiver. I was kind of surprised. He is Chargers football since 2013, in my opinion. I'm going with Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mentioned it. So I was on my church mission in Mexico for the 2013 and 2014 season. So that whole like Mike McCoy era is just kind of blocked out of my memory banks. And I am so glad. But I do kind of, you know, regret the fact that I didn't get to watch rookie Keenan Allen, because I think that's, you know, one of the more fun things to watch is just kind of a out of nowhere player that you're not really expecting to be the best player on the team and then becomes the best player on the team, which I feel like is what happened with Keenan Allen.
Yeah. And for me, the moment I fell in love with him was when he did the hurdle against Denver. And then I was like, okay, this guy's going to be here a while. And that was a fun play.
But yeah, still very underappreciated. But Tyler, you have another pick here, right back to back.
I do. I'll start my timer, even though it's kind of unnecessary, I think, at this point. It definitely comes down to one of two players. I feel like the way things are going, I can wait longer on one. But sort of like Rashawn Slater, you could pick other guys that maybe were good for a year or a very short term, you know, success. And there are players at this position who do. But I think if we're talking about what they've meant to the Chargers so far, briefly, and where they're going to be moving forward, Corey Linsley is the best player at his position of all these guys. Even though, you know, they did have Hardwick, it's for like a year and then nine plays. They had Pouncey, who had a great year, but it's kind of temporary. It wasn't a long career. To me, I wanted to go with Corey Linsley early because he is, as we ranked him, you know, a all-pro style kind of player, and I think he is going to help me relax through the later rounds so I don't have to worry about taking a one-year sort of wonder center elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely the right call there. I consider taking him potentially in my second pick, but I do think, you know, just the peak that Derwin James can give you still
absolutely
did that for me. But Corey Linsley, fantastic. I will say that I think the Chargers, in terms of offensive line, their center performances have been kind of the better position of over the last 9 years. So you know, I think that is something to consider as well.
Absolutely. All right, you're up, Steven.
All right, well, again, you know, this is potentially a position you could target, maybe a JC Jackson, maybe Melvin Ingram, but I just mentioned this particular strategy, and that is going to be taking Zion Johnson with my third overall pick. And of course, he is a rookie. We have not seen him. That's kind of the strategy, though, because I could potentially play him at center. I could potentially play him at right guard, left guard. I'm going to figure that out down the road. So in this particular draft exercise, I'm going to take a player who I think has elite upside and an elite floor and kind of figure out my offensive line later. I need offensive linemen desperately, so I'm taking Zion Johnson with my third overall pick, which should not be a surprise to anybody.
I'm only surprised because, like, maybe position value, like you said, rookie, you know, we haven't seen him play, but he is definitely at least a top 15-ish prospect on our big board here, so I totally get it.
And I'm going to put him at center for now, and then, like I said, figure out the rest later.
I'm a little bit surprised because I think you could theoretically go Filer here too if you wanted. Obviously, Zion Johnson, younger, more upside, but then you also could say, like, Filer's played in the NFL before. I mean, we're going to get into drafting rookies, I'm sure, and second-year players and guys who have played very long. But, I mean, I just took Rashawn Slater. So, you know, there is that aspect of the youth movement I'm projecting with these guys are going to be two. All right, start the clock. I'll take JC Jackson. Very quick movement on the clock here. I think, like Steven said, easily the best cornerback at his peak right now. You can go with Casey Hayward certainly later, and Casey Hayward played here longer, but I think the interceptions that J.C. Jackson creates, easily a top five corner at this point in his career. Casey Hayward, I think you can make the argument that maybe he was like a fringe top five at some point, but I think he more was around the top 10. So if you're talking about a cornerback in the peak of his prime right now, I would go with J.C. Jackson with that pick.
Good call.
Yep. And I am going to go back to back. I wrote it under Tyler's spot. Oops.
You can put him there. It's fine.
But, nah, I think I'll put him in my spot like I'm supposed to. Let's see. And then I will... I'll go with wide receiver. It's a little bit early to maybe take a second wide receiver, but I'll go with Mike Williams. I think that in the same vein of talking about a guy who's going to be in the prime of his career, if I can't have Keenan Allen, there could be like obviously Malcolm Floyd and some of the other Chargers receivers who have been here longer and have been doing it. But I think Mike Williams is clearly the best in terms of skill of those guys, and obviously is still really young in the prime of his career. So I'll take Mike Williams since I have to draft a receiver and I can't take Keenan Allen. So,
yeah, I get you. I mean, really, of these guys, I mean, Rivers had to make it with some of these guys as his wide receiver one. Yeah. But Mike Williams is really the only other wide receiver one on this list. So, good call. All respect to Floyd, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, but there was that 2014 season when, or 2015, one of those years when Danny Woodhead was the leading receiver on the team for a whole season. Which is,
yeah.
I'm sure he'll come up later. I'm sure, you know, one of us could potentially draft him later on. But that's an interesting one here.
Okay.
So this is, I would love to keep building through the trenches right here. I don't have a pass rusher yet. I don't have a tackle. But I feel like I almost have to stick to players that I feel like have an elite ceiling and an elite floor. And there are only two of them left on my board in that category right now. And that's Casey Hayward and Eric Weddle. So obviously Eric Weddle, you're getting more of a short-term thing because he kind of fizzled out in 2015. So I'm going to take Casey Hayward. I'm going to reunite part of the Jack Boys, if you will, and make sure I get a true number one cornerback on my roster. So I'm going Casey Hayward here.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, what a steal, obviously, from the Packers for that stretch, like two, maybe 3 year stretch. He was just amazing. And then, you know, we're not really talking about post careers, but then he went to the Raiders and had himself a really good year. PFF just put out an article where, you know, J.C. Jackson, the Chargers have him now, but he was number one in man. I think Casey Hayward was like number two or whatever in zone. So still kicking, still doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Really good Charger. Really kind of feels like an underrated player for the Chargers over that span.
And I think you're talking about somebody who, you know, his first season in San Diego was kind of a little fluky. I think he had like seven interceptions, eight interceptions or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then in 17, 18, 19, you're talking about somebody that kind of flirted with a top five at the position, playing some really good ball in Gus Bradley's scheme. So obviously that's kind of up in the air of what in terms of like schematics and things like that. But just from a pure talent and ability standpoint, again, cornerback really dries up in this group. And so Casey's that guy for me.
Do you feel like we really need the timer anymore? I think we're flying through this pretty good.
I think we're fine.
I feel like we're going to need the timer later, though. So
okay. We'll put it on pause. Yeah. And if we need it, we'll get back to it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I definitely do need a tackle, both of them. I feel like I can punt on right tackle for 42 more rounds, and it's kind of the same because all the right tackles kind of stink. So I do need another player, again, another player who really seems to define Telesco's era of football. I'm going to go with Melvin Ingram, underrated player towards the end, I feel like, even just like the batted passes. There's just a level of production that he had that Nwosu never reached. You know, you have 2 years. I don't remember if they were during the Telesco span or not, but, you know, he reached like 74 pressures a year, whatever it was. I'm really fantastic player. So Melvin Ingram goes there. He's off my board. And then I'm going to go with, it was very tempting to go one player over here, but you know what? I'm just going to go ape with it. I'm going to go Khalil Mack. And it's obviously talking about what he does moving forward because he hasn't played for the Chargers yet. But Staley is very excited about him. And I have a feeling that what he does for the next 3 years is going to be something pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching Khalil Mack from last season, during this week. And I think he's certainly kind of taken a step back from his defensive player of the year category, but I still think he's a really, really good football player. And I love the way that he just does the little things. And, you know, you're talking about two fantastic leaders along the line of scrimmage for your team there. So I like that strategy for sure.
Yeah, cool.
All right. Okay, I'm going back to the trenches here. I have to, or else they're going to start drying up. I'm going to take Russell Okung.
Nice.
And kind of hold down the fort at left tackle. Tyler mentioned the drop-off. I mean, you're talking about a group after Russell Okung that's like King Dunlap for a year. Joe Barksdale still played some left tackle. Are you going to do Sam Tevy at left tackle? So I want to just kind of knock that off my board. Really glad that Tyler did the back-to-back edge thing because it kind of saved me. So I'm going Russell Okung here.
Yeah, good call. Good player for the Chargers. Odd things didn't work out in the end there. He wasn't happy with the direction the franchise was going, but you know, kind of like some of these guys they bring in, have a really good first year and a half with the Chargers, and things kind of fall off. Also had the pulmonary embolism. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So rough, random situation there.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of talent, clearly after Slater, I think he's the left tackle you look towards. I mean, gave you a season or two, really high quality play prior to the pulmonary embolism. So obviously, you know, he was on that 2018 team as well. So Russell Okung definitely deserves some mention. I will be taking another offensive lineman next pick and address the trenches. Here are a couple ways I could go. I'm going to go with Austin Ekeler. I
like that.
In terms of a guy who's clearly in the peak of his career right now, in his prime, maybe you could wait a little bit to draft a running back, but I almost feel like Austin Ekeler's clearly the best Chargers running back of the Telesco era. You can make a case for Melvin Gordon, who obviously was here for 4 years. I think he had one Pro Bowl appearance. Did Melvin Gordon? Or
I think
did
it was
he
never? Two. But...
Okay.
I don't remember if it was one or two, but to me, Austin Ekeler easily deserved to make the Pro Bowl last year. That was an absolute snub that he didn't get in, and you can make that argument for the season before that as well. Just what he's given you, rushing and receiving, plus my quarterback's Tyrod Taylor, and I need as much help as I can get. If I had Justin Herbert, if I had Phillip Rivers, maybe I wouldn't be making this pick so early, but I feel like Austin Ekeler just gives me a lot of help here. And, you know, someone said in the chat that, like, the current Chargers roster kind of makes some of those mid, you know, Telesco era rosters look not so great. And I think Austin Ekeler is certainly one of those kinds of players. Another one of a newer era is Matt Filer. And I will be taking him with my next pick. And I have a lot of options, right? If I use Matt Filer as well, I can, of course, play him next to Rashawn Slater, but maybe I can kick him out to right tackle if things get bad enough, like we've been talking about all season. I can cheat a little bit because Matt Filer has played right tackle before, so maybe if it starts getting dire and we're on the point of the board where we're around Sam Tevy, I can maybe sweep up Matt Filer. I'll sweep up Matt Filer here now, so it gives me a little bit of flexibility later, but yeah, I will go with those two guys to bolster my offense.
Yeah, good call. Ekeler is a guy I was really hoping would fall to me at some point, maybe position value, but at the end of the day, he's a fantastic weapon, arguably as valuable as Keenan Allen, so good pick there.
Yeah, look at Alex building through the trenches. I love to see it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm debating between a few players here.
I know who it is.
Obviously, the pass rushers have kind of dried up at this point, so you know, we'll see kind of how I'm able to manage that really quickly. But we talked beforehand about how dreadful the defensive tackle group is that the Chargers have had over the years. So with my next pick here, I am going to go with Sebastian Joseph Day to kind of hold down the middle of my defensive line. I'll type his full name out. We'll see how that works. I'm just going to do SJD. That's too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sebastian Joseph Day, I feel like, hasn't necessarily hit his ceiling yet. So, obviously, there's still some unknown, but we haven't seen him be a very serviceable high-end run defender at minimum. And frankly, that is needed with the defensive line group that we are going to be choosing from after him.
Yeah, absolutely. That was going to be my next pick. Not because like he's the better player of some of these guys, but
right.
It's dreadful. Defensive tackle for the Chargers has been and is awful, awful, awful stuff. So good job. Okay. I am up because he didn't get taken. I'm shocked. This wasn't the selection for you, Steven. But considering he did have a nice little peak, I believe second team all pro, first team all pro, whatever it was, a Pro Bowl nod in the middle for the Chargers. Things didn't end so well, but who cares? That's not really the point here. So I'm going to go with Eric Weddle as my safety. I didn't think he'd be here at this point, just considering. Yeah. But, you know, I'll take it. So I'm going to go with Eric Weddle there.
It's important in the Telesco draft to draft a guy who fucking can't stand Tom Telesco.
Bringing him back. We're going to run it back.
No, I think, like, if I hadn't taken Derwin James first, I probably would have taken Weddle at some point. Mm-hmm. But the cornerback group dries up. I think the safety group is probably one of the deeper ones that the Chargers have had. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I went with Derwin and then waited.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Derwin obviously a great pick. Weddle, whatever. Like, fine. All right, I do need some help here on defense. I have no corners. So it's a bit of a toss up, obviously, because you have some players that were, healthy. But I'm going to go with Jason Verrett here just because I believe in what he, was able to do in a little bit of time. Am I going to get him for more than four games? Probably not. But those four games are going to be really good. He's one of those guys I don't know how much you were able to watch, Steven, because you were, gone, obviously. But I mean, what he did against Antonio Brown, just fantastic stuff. So is he really a CB1 like some of these guys? No. But he could have been.
Yeah, man. I 2015, I think, was his healthy season. So I got to watch him that year. Mm-hmm. I think you're obviously banking on the injuries, which we talked about, right? Like it being a potential gray area. I think peak Verrett versus, peak JC Jackson, that's a really interesting conversation. And obviously, if we're taking the injuries out of it, you're talking about that peak being a top six or seven pick in this draft, but I think obviously you have to take the injuries into consideration, but at this point, looking at this cornerback group, I would have probably done the same thing at some point if I didn't take Casey. All right, so I don't have any offensive weapons yet at this point, so I'm gonna bring the I'm reuniting the band, man. I'm taking Antonio Gates here.
Fuck.
Love it.
Like I said, I don't have any wide receivers, so Phillip Rivers is used to this already. and obviously the peak of Antonio Gates is behind him, but you're still talking about a guy who had 10 touchdowns and I think 700 yards one season in this era and like 607 or something like that. So still very, very productive tight end. And I'm pretty happy with this, kind of knowing where the receiver group stands in particular. So didn't necessarily get a great wide receiver, but I have a great receiving tight end to reunite with Phil Rivers.
Yeah, I guess this is Steven getting me back for the Rashawn Slater thing. I was definitely going to take Antonio Gates with one of my two upcoming picks here because I just thought, sort of flies under the radar because he was definitely not at his peak from that 2013 to 2018 period when he came back. But, I mean, obviously still one of the, best tight ends of the league of that time. From probably till like 2015, 2016. So, I mean, he's Antonio Gates, obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer. Couple ways I could go here. The safety market is drying up. And I do think there's probably kind of a third name.
Ooh, I like it.
Adrian Phillips.
Yeah, nice.
And I think that's an interesting pick. Obviously, did not make the Pro Bowl as a defensive player, but the impact that he had with Derwin James in that 2018 season prior to eventually leaving to New England, which is probably one of the blemishes on Tom Telesco's resume for how cheap he could have kept him. I think that his level of play was really solid. So fortifying the defense a little bit there. And I'm going to go with Adrian Phillips. Obviously can help me out even though we're not drafting special teams, can obviously help out in that way as well, since that was what he was selected to the Pro Bowl for. Yeah. And
miss
I do miss him a lot. I hope he makes Belichick happy. at least someone gets to enjoy him. Mm-hmm. All right. And I feel like the point where the board starts to dry up a little bit, because after this, it starts to get kind of hard. Draft another wide receiver. And it's a little bit redundant, but I will go with another Chargers Williams. Legend, Malcolm Floyd.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With the wide receiver, two pick. I do kind of understand that having, Malcolm Floyd and Mike Williams could be redundant, but at this point I'm kind of going for the best player.
I like it.
Again, yeah. My quarterback is Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. And I need as much help as I can get. Tyrod has no problem throwing up jump balls. So just throw it to the really tall guys, I guess. Floyd, never a Pro Bowl player, I don't think, but obviously had a few quasi Pro Bowl seasons in terms of production. And I think 1 year he had like 20 yards per reception in one of those seasons under Telesco as well. So even though he's obviously more of a San Diego Charger, I think one of the seasons where he had like 856 yards was his career high. So, I mean, you're getting a pretty decent receiving option here. I'll take Malcolm Floyd here. Helps me out a lot. And it sort of ends my streak of drafting post-2018 era Chargers.
Yeah, nice. Welcome to the past. Yeah,
welcome to the past. I'll take Malcolm Floyd.
Yeah, so he missed, I think, most of the season in 2013. But 2014, he had 856 yards, averaged 16.5 yards per reception, 6 touchdowns. 15, he had 561 yards, 18.7 per reception, and 3 touchdowns. So at this point with this receiver group, I think you'll take that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Malcolm Floyd, just classic Charger, classic San Diego. Missed him for sure. I cried at that game where they announced his retirement and they played that Green Day song. I cried. Like, everybody in the stadium was bawling their eyes out. It was tough, but... good player for sure.
Yeah, I think he meant a lot more to the Chargers than the stats really ever showed.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, always just a class act, leader of the franchise, and overall just a great player. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna double dip here, and I'm taking Hunter Henry back to back. Okay. So I'm taking all the tight ends.
A lot of two tight end sets.
Oh yeah, baby, we're going old school football right here. I just think that with the value of where the receiver position is at, I want both of the tight ends. I want to make sure I can get, the two tight end sets back in style with Phillip Rivers, and make sure if I don't have a good receiver, at least I have two of the only good tight ends that the Chargers have had over the last 9 years.
Yeah. Well, go for it. Two tight end sets are awesome, man. I love that we got our first flex player of the draft so far. Good stuff there. Because if we're going with more of a 3-4 base, I'm not going to take this player, but I'm still surprised at this point that Nwosu is available. Like, I would have taken him at some point because you do need another edge, but okay. I don't need another edge, so I'm going to move on. So Hunter Henry is gone. All right, time for me to get shit. The next best running back, unfortunately, is Melvin Gordon. I'm going to take Melvin Gordon here. Not great, but I'll tell you what. You know, he was marginally more healthy than Ryan Matthews for one year and a half.
Right.
And if we're being serious, like, he's the only guy that can really like carry a actual load as a football player. I'll be throwing to Keenan on a lot more for sure than handing it off to Melvin Gordon. But I feel wrong for doing this. Melvin Gordon, Eric Weddle. I am just collecting all the people that hate us.
There's a couple more players that you could take that would push you over the top.
Yeah, I'll do the Infinity Gauntlet.
The anti Telesco team of the Telesco draft.
Yeah, I'm gonna Desmond King next. No, I'm kidding. All right, it's not a bad spot to take him for sure. Yeah. But no, I'm not gonna do that. I obviously need linemen at some point. God forbid my interior defensive line ever exists. I guess we'll find out. But you know what? Who cares? Tom Telesco hasn't. So I'm just honoring him at this point.
okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take Desmond King. I just build the shitless team. But like, he was really good at one point. Yeah. He was an exceptional player defensively and on special teams. And I have a returner. Like, I have some special teams and you guys don't.
Yeah.
I think so. You know, that's cool. So yeah, Desmond King, if we're talking about whole careers here, great, off a cliff on the Texans. But he did get his revenge with the interception last year. So Desmond That's King is my flex.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super and I mean, I know we're not considering post Chargers career, and Desmond King definitely did not end on a high note, but Desmond King actually had a really solid year in Houston last year. So I mean, that does mean something, even if it doesn't mean anything in the context of this draft, but obviously kind of gets you back a little bit, maybe to the peak of that, you know, 2018 Chargers Desmond King thing.
Mm-hmm. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Cool.
All right. Well, I'm going to take the player that Tyler just mentioned, since I don't have any pass rushers at this point, and I wanted to make sure that Alex did not get the last good one. So I am taking Uchenna Nwosu as my edge one, baby. Let's go, Chenna.
Hey, he'd be the edge one in Seattle. You know what? It could pay off. You're seeing what he can do, giving him a chance, and good for you.
I mean, there's not many other options, so I'm gonna roll with it. Like, and for it. What it's worth, I do really like the player. I think, you know, we saw him become a really solid player last year. So I'll take it at this point.
Nice. Good call.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be going for edge, although I probably would have taken Uchenna Nwosu. Yeah, there's not much of a chance that I'm doing it now.
Right.
I'm going to go a little bit outside the box, and this is probably a huge overdraft. I'll go with Trevor Williams.
And okay.
So yeah. Trevor Williams had a really good 2017 year, and then not 2017 year, and then fell off the face of the planet. But if I can get 2017 Trevor Williams, then I'm pretty good with Jay-Z Jackson and him. So in the vein of Tyler taking Desmond King, the defensive stuff gets really thin here. So I'll go with a guy who's pretty high upside for at least a year or two. So I'll take him. It's a little bit early, but man, the corners are not good after this point. So I'll dive in since Steven took Uchenna off the board. Nice. There's not much for me to go over there. This is the part where oh god, it gets really
timer
thin.
Time
this might be timer time actually I'll postpone timer time.
Okay,
I'm gonna take another wide receiver, and I'm gonna go,
you're gonna do it.
Tyrell Williams.
All right,
I have all three of my wide receivers. I will go with all three of them.
Alex is running nothing but go balls all game long with Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, respect it. Alex is really making that point that wide receiver is like the best position.
But I also have Slater and Filer, so I'm moving up the trenches and the go balls.
Absolutely. I mean, at this point, you could just put me out there and I'll throw a go ball, and it'll go to somebody. Someone there will be one.
You can't run anything but
Tyrell Williams
routes.
was a 1,000-yard receiver 1 year.
He was.
And, you know, a really solid receiver for the Chargers for 3 years. Obviously, you know, unfortunately with Raiders, got hurt and then we had to produce at the same level. But I think out of those guys, I mean, he was really solid during that 2018 season and doesn't get quite enough credit for it. That Kansas City game he had is pretty bonkers.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's a fair call. So, when I did this, I did my own Google sheet and with a big board, right? And I kind of sorted players into different kind of tiers. And I have the first tier of like elite ceiling, elite floor. And those are kind of, you know, the Derwin James of the world, Joey Bosa, stuff like that. Sure. My second tier that I put was potentially elite ceiling, above average floor. And I only have one player left in that category. And I'm kind of surprised that, you know, we're taking all these corners before him, and I'm taking Asante Samuel Jr. here. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big, big fan of him, obviously, and I know he's a little bit unproven, but I believe in his ceiling. I believe in his floor. I believe in his ability to develop alongside Casey Hayward. So I am going to end the slide here for Asante Samuel Jr. and put him as my CB2.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised, although, unproven. I'm still surprised that you went with Trevor Williams over Asante Samuel Jr. But
yeah, well, I kind of forgot Asante Samuel Jr. existed for a fact. So I guess I missed that pickup.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Interesting. Good All stuff. Right,
Tyler, back to back here.
Okay, back. Well, okay. pause. It's okay. Tyrell Williams is off the board. I'm not taking another wide receiver, even though I could. But at this point, we're going to get into those weird 2013 randos. So I'm going to go with the best linebacker they've had. I'm going to go with Kaiser White because apparently I prioritize linebackers now. and then as far as what's up?
Well, Alex left. There he is. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not watching the screen, so I had no idea. All right. Well, as long as you can hear me, that's all that matters.
I gotcha.
I can definitely wait on a corner, which sounds weird, but I guess I can. I'm not taking Corey Leggett that early. You know what? I'm gonna go ham. I'm taking Denzel Perryman.
Nice. You double dip at linebacker after I did it at tight end. Good job. I like it.
We just really, we both love the trenches, but we're going with tight ends and linebackers. I'm going to have a really solid defense. No linemen, but you know what? I can make it up later because sure. Is Alex back?
But you did both of your picks, right?
Yes, I did Denzel Perryman and Kaiser White. Also because those are really the two like proven linebackers at their position. One of you can take a shot on Kenneth Murray.
Well, I mean, there are other like individual good seasons that you could choose from too.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go Corey Toomer or whatever, you do that. It was good. I liked him.
I mean, maybe I potentially do that. I think really before Andre Roberts came around, he was probably the Chargers' best midseason acquisition, if you want to go deep down that board. So I'm a little, I want to go offensive line here and kind of solidify one of my spots. I'm a little conflicted with what to do because both of these players had some injury issues, although I really loved what they did when they were on the field. And I've talked a little bit about him before, and I think an injury really derailed his 2021 season, and I think he was playing the best ball of his career. So I am taking Ode Abuji here to solidify my right guard spot here. And like I said, I have some flexibility with Zion Johnson, but I have Ode holding down the fort at right guard and obviously hoping that he does not tear his ACL in this simulation and can continue that career trajectory season for me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good call there. I was hoping he'd be there on the circle back around, but good call. Good call for sure.
Yeah, I think Bougie's a really solid pick. Obviously, kind of wish he stayed healthy. Kind of wish he was still here. I mean, given, you know, some of the situations that we talk about, but they did draft Zion Johnson ultimately. So Steven now doubles up with Zion Johnson and Ode Bushi. So
yeah.
offensive lineman paradise for
Wish
him.
Wish that would happen in real life, but
when you look at the team, it is something you wish could happen now, but don't think so. All right. Not a whole lot left in edge rusher, so no. I'm going to hold off on that one. I guess I'll go with the second best nose tackle at this point. I do sort of need someone on the interior, and Brandon Bebane gave us at least a pretty solid year prior to kind of falling off. So I'll put him in the mix here and put him as my nose tackle. I do still need more help on defense, and I think he can at least give me that much. And then, oh, God. They're...
Yes, I love hearing that.
Tyler really went with Kaiser White and Denzel Perriman. So there's sort of nothing left at linebacker right now. So I'm going to push that one, I guess, for as long as I can. I'll fortify the offensive line and go with Mike Pouncey.
Nice.
At least he gave you a pretty solid season, pretty solid couple seasons before he got hurt with the neck injury in, was it 2019 or 2020, and then ended up getting cut. But I think Mike Pouncey was obviously on that 2018 playoff team. And fortifies this in a way where it makes the less good right guards and right tackles matter a little less as we get further on in the draft here. So I'll settle for Mike Pouncey here.
There we go. Well done. He was the one that I was kind of debating between Ode or Mike Pouncey. Yeah,
right.
But like I said, I still have kind of that flexibility of potentially playing Zion at center. So ultimately went with Ode. I'm going to get some, since I don't have any edge rushers, I'm going to take an interior pass rusher here, and I'm going to take Corey Leggett with my next pick. You know, we talked about the, should I put SJD at DT1? It feels weird. Like saying that.
Leggett, I would, I would have just put Joseph Day as your defensive tackle and then fine. Because, like, to me, Austin Johnson's the nose tackle of the current Chargers. So I would put Sebastian Joseph Day at defensive tackle.
Okay, so I'll put him at DT1. I'll put Corey Leggett at DT.
Oh, I'm so excited to take Jerry Tillery. I can't
DT2.
Wait.
DT2. But there was that stretch of, like, 3-4 years. You know, in 2013, Leggett had 40 pressures, 7 sacks. In 2014, he had 38 and 5. You know, so there were some really good seasons in there. I think he just kind of fizzled out a little bit. But I'm pretty happy with, you know, Sebastian Joseph Day and Corey Leggett being my two defensive tackles in this point. And then, you know, we'll figure out what I want to do technically at nose tackle later on.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so I am in desperate need of linemen, so I might as well get that going. Let's go with the legendary King Dunn. Oh, gosh, why is it?
Why is that so small?
Well, I don't know.
That's a good pick. I mean, he's the only left tackle that's good left.
So. Yeah, and he was good. Like, he was good for the Chargers for a couple seasons, and I think the concussions caught up to him. But, you know, it is what it is. Okay, hold on. Let me make sure they're... Okay, so that's the only one that was randomly
size
10 font, however that happens. Okay, so I got my King Dunlap there. So my next pick, I am going to build in the trenches again. I honestly can't believe I'm doing this. DJ Fluker at right tackle. Womp plays right tackle. He did transition to right guard, but at this point, it's like Sam Tevy. So I'm going to go with DJ Fluker there and King Dunlap. Run it back with Rivers' old two tackles.
There you go.
Which definitely were super good.
There you go. Super, super good. For what it's worth, I would have had, I had Fluker on my board as a guard, even with the tackle group the way it was. I just feel like that was.
Yeah,
his best position there.
Nah.
All right, so I'm going to finally take a wide receiver here, and I'm going to take a big, big gamble, and I'm going to take Josh Palmer as my wide receiver one. So, the, you know, we've talked about this list drying up. Like, I don't want, you know, Eddie Royal as my wide receiver one or Dontrell Inman, so Again, unproven, but at least I, you know, potentially have a high ceiling there that we haven't really seen yet.
All right. I like it. I like it. Josh Palmer. Yeah.
Decent.
All right, Alex, you're up with back-to-back picks again.
All right. So I've been looking into the edge rushers and doing a couple Googles.
To call are you going to remember the good one?
So I feel like I have to go with Dwight Freeney here.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's...
I was hoping somebody even, would.
Now, he only had like 5 sacks as a Charger, but he was still okay. And
yeah, he was.
You can hope that if I'm trying to put like a football team together and I can get one pretty good game out of him, that wouldn't be too hard. I do still think Tyler has the better duo, obviously, with Ingram and Mack and doubling up there. But probably the best remaining upside career guy I can put next to Joey Bosa at this point, unless I really want to go out there and go like Jerry Attachu. But I think that Dwight Freeney is probably the best I'm going to do at this point. And then I'll draft a linebacker here.
Look at us.
Okay. Look at us. Upside, Kenneth Murray. Now,
sure.
Kenneth Murray is obviously like he takes a step forward in his development, but obviously first round pick, had a very solid rookie year prior to having a not great year last season, hit with injuries. But if I'm betting on the upside in the same way that, you know, we've taken Asante Samuel Jr., Zion Johnson, and some of these younger players, I think that he's probably the best I'm going to do. Especially at the linebacker position with how the talent has really dried up after Tyler took Kaiser White and Denzel Perriman. So I'll take my chances with Kenneth Murray here. And it's probably the best I can kind of hope for if I'm projecting this outwards, you know, it's like a 4 or 5 year experiment.
I like it. I mean, listen, I think you really do have a good player here. I just think it needs to, we got to see it now, please.
Right.
No, yeah, absolutely. I'm a little bummed out you took Dwight Freeney because I was going to do that next. But,
yep. He had like a 58 pressure season, didn't he?
Yeah, he had like 60 pressures for the Falcons like 3 years after he left the Chargers, which was like, what?
Yeah.
So he still had some really good ball in him. I think it just obviously kind of became that, you know, mercenary pass rusher kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm considering going receiver here again, but I really want to prioritize turnovers at this point with my defense.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a player that I really wish the Chargers had been able to hold on to. And that is free safety. Huh?
So I have an idea of who you're going with here.
I'm taking free safety Trey Boston off the board and reuniting him with Derwin James. He had 5 interceptions in his lone season with the Chargers. So really was unfortunate we didn't get to see more of him.
Weren't 2 of them off of like Nathan Peterman?
I think just the one.
But was it 1 or 2? I don't remember who the breakdown in that game, but Trey Boston.
He had 3 interceptions with the Cardinals in the year after that and 7 pass breakups and then 3 and 7 again in 2019 when he went back to Carolina. So I feel like he was a really good ball hawk safety. He was lousy as a run defender. But you know, I need these turnovers since I don't really have the ability to create much pressure. So I'm going to take Trey Boston.
All right, Trey Boston. Yeah, I was really bummed that he couldn't hang on to him. My mind's a little fuzzy on how the whole safety room rotated in and out. And
Watkins that next and year was so frustrating because then that's when they kicked Adai back to free safety and all of us were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was a whole disaster there. Okay, I am up. I'm definitely considering wide receiver. Starting to run out of some, but I feel like I can make this line thing work. So is he really my wide receiver 2? Not really, but like I'm out of options. So I'm going to go with Eddie Royal here, who played for the Chargers, obviously, and had like 700 yards and 8 touchdowns, like back-to-back years or whatever it was, or something along those lines. So I'm going to take him there. And then just to run it back for shits and giggles, Again, I don't know why I'm taking the shit list, guys. I'm gonna go Danny Woodhead, which is kind of sounds ridiculous, but he had 2 years in there where he had like 1,000 total yards, back to back years or whatever it was. Like, he's a legit weapon. So I added, like, you know, at their peak, 1,800 yards and 15 touchdowns a year for a couple of these guys. So really weird throwback names, but Danny Woodhead, like, I really liked him. I thought he was. I mean, the Chargers have this way of finding guys that are the Sproles, the Woodhead, the Oliver, the Eckler. And Woodhead was an outstanding player for the Chargers for sure.
No, I like that pick for sure. I considered taking him with my next pick since I don't, again, don't really have any wide receivers, but I actually need an actual running back. So obviously I had to hold off there.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. Trying to decide what I want to do next here, and I'm going to continue to fill out my defensive line group, actually, and I'm going to take Linval Joseph as my nose tackle. Nice. Had a couple really good seasons with the Chargers here recently. Oh, that's another little one, but that's okay. But I really believe in kind of what he was able to finish his career off with the Chargers, and maybe he's coming back. He looks like he's doing well on Instagram and getting healthy. So I like this defensive line group, you know, despite kind of what I felt about the group as a whole for the Chargers heading in. So I got Sebastian Joseph Day, Linval Joseph, and Corey Leggett as my three defensive linemen.
I like it. That's a good group. That is basically your top three practically right there over the last decade. So good call.
All right. I'm going to go all offense here again with these next two picks. Oh, and I'm going to go with a slight youth movement for my offensive flex. I'm going to go with Jalen Guyton. I think that maybe not that he's a guy we forgot about in doing this exercise, but I could have picked Tyron Johnson if I really wanted to get fun with it. But I do think Jalen Guyton projects to be, obviously wide receiver three this year, really solid deep ball guy. Obviously doesn't have the stats or like Pro Bowls or something to show, like, as we compare to like these other kind of quasi like peak Chargers. But for me, I do have two jump ball guys, arguably three jump ball guys when it comes to Mike Williams, Malcolm Floyd, and Tyrell Williams. I have a burner here that I can have, and that's, you know, pretty decent upside for the offense. I'm going to go tight end next, and I'm going to go Trey McKitty. I'm going a little bit off the board here, obviously, but when we're talking about, obviously, Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates, we're going to be off the board. I didn't think Steven would end up with both of them. I think if you're betting on upside, Trey McKitty probably still like a blocking tight end, but I do think he's going to get more involved in the passing offense this year. And then at some point, while the Chargers kind of go through the Jared Cooks and the Gerald Everts, there's a chance that I think that he moves up the depth chart and becomes a tight end one in the future. So this is kind of a bet on future production, like some of the other rookies. But I'll take him as my tight end one because I don't really feel like there's a whole lot left and I get to bet on the rookie upside. So I'll go a little bit off the board.
Nice.
Wow. I'm not surprised you didn't take Jared Cook. I'm not surprised. You
didn't. No,
but yeah. I figured you would be taking Gerald Everett, especially since none of your receivers can run anything but a go route.
Did you forget about Gerald Everett?
Wait, can I take it back?
No.
Oh, oops. I forgot about Gerald Everett.
Fuck. Amazing.
I love you. Forgot about Gerald Everett. Blocking scheme's amazing though.
Yeah. It is. Solid blocking scheme. I forgot about Gerald. I forgot about the new Chargers. I know I took JC Jackson, but the new ones. I honestly forgot Khalil Mack was a Charger when Tyler took him, and I'm like, oh god.
Oops. Yeah. There are other new Chargers to take. You know.
I probably would have taken Donald Parham over Trey McKitty personally, but
You could have.
That's all right. All right. I really was hoping you would not take Jalen Guyton because, again, I don't have any wide receivers here. So I'm going to go with the legend Dontrell Inman as my wide receiver too. You know, he had that one random season where he had like 890 yards and he contributed over the course of a few. And so I think there are obviously some other kind of projects that you could, you know, talk yourself into, and I'll probably have to do that for my wide receiver three spot. But right now I'm obviously prioritizing route running ability, just kind of, you know, they're pretty similar players in terms of just the physicality with which they play. So I'm excited ish about Josh Palmer and Dontrell Inman being my two wide receivers.
Yeah. Nice. Dontrell Inman, man. Like, I was bummed that they ended up trading him to Chicago or whatever it was. You kind of brought him in, developed him from the CFL, I believe. And then just was a dude, kind of like another Malcolm Floyd, just another dude who could produce, you know, nothing flashy, nothing crazy, but just, I don't know. I just liked that. There was a nice comfy, cozy feeling of like Rivers to Allen and Inman and Floyd. And, you know, some of these guys, I like that. I like that era of football, even though they were an awful team.
Good dudes, not super great on the field, but you know, once you lose Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and even Jalen Guyton, I feel like you got to take some guys like Dontrell Inman.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I am up. And for my CB2, another player that was, I think, played for the Chargers for 3 years. And I don't think he was a Pro Bowler, but he was pretty good for the Chargers for at least 1.5 years. Kind of the theme of a lot of these early Telesco Chargers. I'm going to go with Brandon Flowers. Everybody remember him? The first article I ever wrote for Bolt Beat was about Brandon Flowers. And
no kidding. All right.
Yeah. It's time to say.
Cardale Jones.
Oh, so should I put Cardale Jones here? Is that
no.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I'm Brandon Flowers there. I did need another corner, although there's a couple more guys in there. And then just to make sure things don't go completely sour for me, I'm going to go with Austin Johnson here at nose tackle.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's a little rough after that.
Got to remember the new Chargers because I forgot.
Good stuff. You want me to like write them at the bottom for you?
Yeah. Like, do you want us to make a best player available list for you?
Callahan.
This would be easier if you had like the ESPN like draft day, like Todd McShay's like best 30 available. Like that would, it would help, but
oh my goodness. All right, I'm going to end the slide for Ryan Matthews here. Nice. Really the only other draftable running back. Although he had like 1,200 and something yards in 2013. It was the only season he played with the Chargers in this era when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still feel like I could potentially, you know, work some magic there, keep him healthy. If not, in this imaginary scenario, I'll just draft another running back next year.
Cool. Not bad. There's always next year.
There's literally no other choice here. Like, there was one season when like Brandon Oliver led the team with 460 yards rushing. I mean, you could maybe take a chance on Isaiah Spiller, and I wouldn't necessarily hate that. But we had the one really good season from Ryan Matthews, and I think you kind of have to stick with that.
I liked Matthews, man. I really rooted for him.
Me too.
It never quite worked out. He did okay with the Eagles, though, yeah?
He did all right for like a season, and then, you know, how Ryan Matthews ends, unfortunately. Yeah.
He was he was their RB2 for a couple of years, and I think he was like decent. So
yeah, RB2 to LeSean in some of those years. So you know, interesting player, and I do think he was solid. So there's not a whole lot to dislike about that pick. Mm-hmm. I need another safety, and I'm gonna go with Rayshon Jenkins.
I'm so glad I was Googling him so you could do that. Awesome.
you can make the argument he was probably, although Trey Boston produced more interceptions and got more turnovers, probably the fourth best Chargers safety of that like group in this Telesco era, obviously behind Weddle, James, and Phillips. I can have some more depth there, and I don't really need to worry about the safety position, even if I don't have like a dominant guy. And I think Rayshon Jenkins obviously started that year that Derwin was hurt, so has some starting experience. Obviously got the bag in Jacksonville, so he's going to be starting there for a while. Yeah. So, you know, pretty decent pick in my opinion.
I am going to say I think the fourth best safety is Jahleel Adai on this list personally.
So if you could take Jahleel Adai and subtract his lapses in coverage and how things ended here, he would probably be the best one. I do think there is something with Rayshon Jenkins, and how he filled in those years was pretty solid. like you could go with him or a die. But just preference, I think I'll go with Rayshon.
San Diego, a die. I should clarify there is
yeah
a better player than Rayshon was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the peak was better. But if I guess if we're playing law of averages, then
sure,
it sort of ended up evening out.
Sure.
I need a defensive tackle. And
are you gonna do it?
I don't do Jerry Tillery. There are other players, man.
I love the man, Justin Jones.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Justin Jones as my DT1. Obviously, very solid run defender when he was here. I'm not getting a whole lot of pass rushing presence on the interior, but hopefully that's a little bit reduced. I don't need a huge need for that. I have Joey Bosa as my edge one. I have Dwight Freeney as my edge two. Kenneth Murray, edge three. So, you know, I don't need a ton of help, I guess, from Jones and Mebane. So I'm going to fortify the interior. Couple other guys I could have gone with here, and maybe I'll snake back around for DT2. But I'll hit up Justin Jones. I'm not hitting the Jerry Tillery button yet.
Okay. Good, good, good.
Nice.
All right. So both of you guys have edge rushers, so I guess I could theoretically wait there. Maybe do offensive line again. All right. Well, I'm going to take the player that a lot of the guys in the chat are talking about here, and that is Mr. Drew Tranquil.
Ooh, not bad.
So he's going to be my linebacker one. Don't necessarily think he obviously has an elite peak, but I feel like he's just very serviceable, reliable player. And at this point with the linebacker group, I'm more comfortable with his floor than I am with the other linebackers on the board. So Tranquil filling out my defense little bit by little bit.
I like it. Drew Tranquil. Gosh, I'm like looking at these names trying to remember who the hell some of these guys are.
you probably created a more extensive board than I did, because once I got past a certain point, I was like, okay, I don't care about, you know, all these other guys.
You guys created a board? I took Trey McKitty.
And it's going to pay off. Your team's going to go undefeated, Alex. I'm really feeling it this year.
We're probably only going to score 17 points a game, but maybe we'll only give up 16 sometimes. So
you can do it, man.
That's probably how much team has to be done.
Okay, so Justin Jones is gone. That would have definitely been a player that I would have taken. I do need another safety. I'd rather take a more proven one. So I am actually going to take Jahlil Adai.
There you go.
Yeah, I think maybe Jenkins had the better, like, maybe overall performance, but Adai as a strong safety, I think was the better safety. So Jahlil Adai there. I can't believe I'm taking Jahlil Adai willingly, but you got to do what you got to do. And then at left guard, I'm just continuing the trend. I'm going to take Matt Slauson, who played his final year. Listen, you know, he played left guard his final year and had a pass blocking efficiency of 97.7. I'm going with Matt Slauson. How my board fell to somehow taking the guys that hate the Chargers, I don't know. But you know what? He was like a team captain or something. And so I'm going to go with him because he was a decent left guard and interior lineman for them. So I'm going with Matt Slauson. Not a horrible option, I think.
Blake has a comment here where we should put these lineups in Madden and see, simulate a season to see who comes out with the best record.
I swear if you win.
Has Madden can do that.
See, I will say, I do think my team has a decently high floor. The ceiling is not high. The ceiling is really low. The quarterback is not Justin Herbert. I think I've built it in a way that's not horrible.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to fill my other linebacker spot here with Jatavis Brown.
Nice. So, cool. Right on.
Rarely saw him be healthy, but that one rookie season, man, was a thing of beauty. So I'm taking Jatavis Brown to almost wrap up my defense.
That one color rush game against the Broncos? Perfect.
It was.
Then all downhill from there.
But the Chargers linebacker history, man, is so weird because it's like one random season here and there of like a really good season. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. The Kaiser White thing is just like so typical Chargers where it's like, oh, he's kind of a good player. Then he peaks and then he leaves. Or Jatavis Brown peaks and then he gets injured. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just classic Chargers.
I'll continue filling out my defensive tackle group. Darius Filon. He had four seasons he was with the Chargers, and then the two seasons where he actually got to start, I think combined had like 8.5 sacks. So not bad there for what I can do at DT at this point. Still bouncing around the league. I'll take a shot on him. And then at right guard, I'm gonna go.
Very Michael poor choice of words there.
Wait, what did I say?
He said take a shot on a player that literally got kicked off the Chargers for taking a physical shot.
Oh.
Aggravated assault or whatever it was.
I didn't remember he had a gun. Well, that's... oops. Stumble into genius comedy. Darius Filon. I'll take a shot on him.
There you go.
I'll go with Michael Schofield at right guard. I don't think that he's a guy that we think of as in the sense of like Slater, Filer, some of these guys. I was going to say high-end Chargers offensive linemen like Mike Pouncey and Ode Ibushi. but he was obviously his first stint with the Chargers was probably the best offensive lineman out of that group because that offensive line was so bad. Mm-hmm. And since he's come back with this team and this new offensive line has obviously been able to step in when asked. And has done pretty decent. Played that last game with the torn bicep, like the trooper he was. And so I'll go with Michael Schofield, and I feel pretty good about my offensive line.
No, yeah, you've done a good job assembling that unit. So I'm going to take an offensive line pick here. I am going to put Zion Johnson back in his natural position.
Ooh.
And I am going to take Scott Quessenberry to be my starting center.
I like it. He definitely deserves a shot to officially be one, but
no one's taking Calamete.
I'm actually surprised Nick Hardwick wasn't one of the choices here, but it's only one. I mean,
yeah, that's not one of those where you could put him in there, but like he's almost not
was
really.
Was he 2013?
Yep, and 14.
Really?
But 2014 for like half a game.
Then he got hurt. Yeah,
yeah, and the whole season just went to shit. Everybody died after that.
When
I looked on PFF, he wasn't on there. So
Nick Hardwick? No, he was definitely there.
Janwell asked, why are there players who were not drafted by Telesco? To clarify, this is any player who played in the Telesco era from 13 to 22.
I
pulled an Alex. I thought 2014. Thought Nick Hardwick was later on, was earlier than that. So
I thought he was earlier than that too, but I would still take Pouncey over Hardwick. So
yeah, no, definitely,
absolutely. I wouldn't take Quessenberry over Hardwick though, with a chance to go back.
That's a McKitty situation. So
when I'm serious, when I looked at PFF last night on this, I did not see him in 2013. So I don't know.
Fascinating. Okay, so Quessenberry is gone. I'm up to pick twice again. I guess you guys are kind of unable to take a tight end or offensive flex. So I suppose I could just wait on Gerald Everett.
unless you're
moving players around like you're currently doing, which, I don't know. Is Antonio Gates your wide receiver 3?
Probably my wide receiver 1, to be honest.
As long as no one moves any players around, I should get Gerald Everett later on. So I'll wait on him. So for defense, I'm going to go with a player that I haven't talked about in forever. Kendall Reyes.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, that's a pull.
That's an old one, but I didn't realize he had a good like 25 pressures per year with the Chargers.
He was decent.
Yeah, like I thought he never really became anything significant. I think they took him, I want to say second round. He never really lived up to that, but give me 25, 30 pressures a year, I'm all for that. So go with Kendall Reyes there. I'm still trying to avoid as much as humanly possible taking Jerry Tillery, even though he's probably better than some of the options left on the board. But I don't want to be the guy that does that. So I could use wide receiver, obviously a tight end, but I can wait. I am going to round out my group with Tyron Johnson.
Not bad.
All right.
So I got, you know, your more possession receiver. I got your slot receiver.
But I should more still be on the team.
He should still be on the team. There you go. You know, things happen.
All right. All right. So I'm going to fill out my edge spot here with the soon to be DJ of Tyler's wedding. I'm going to put Kyle Vannoy as my edge too.
Very nice. And, very nice.
Just be like good ish on the edge while I have the best interior of the three of us.
There you go. Good stuff. I like it. Yeah, your interior is amazing. Your edge rushers can get it done. Like, at least those two guys, if they were starting for the Chargers this year.
I feel okay about
it. You feel okay about that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
So, Alex, you got your linebacker two and your flex and then a right tackle and a quarterback.
I'm going to continue building out the offensive line. Now, this Jeremy Clary was on the team in 2013.
Yep.
He's clearly the best right tackle option. And I'll finish out my offensive line. And I think, despite my other mistakes, I absolutely have the best offensive line between any of us. So I'll take that as a trenches world team. And hopefully Tyrod can throw for a solid 100, 200 yards a game and Eckler can save me. So I will bet on that offensive line and take Jeremy Clary there. So congrats to whoever gets Storm Norton or Sam Tepe, I guess, if you want to put him at right tackle. But I think that's the best spot I can do there. I do have a defensive flex spot available if I want to use that. These rosters get pretty slim at this point. I'll go with another linebacker. Nick Zubner.
Oh my god.
Now,
you get special teams is important.
And I'm gonna go with Nick Zubner. I have Adrian Phillips for special teams value. It's a Brandon Staley defense in theory, so the linebackers don't matter anyway, and it doesn't matter.
Take it like Troy Reader then, man.
I mean, after that NFC Championship game, I think I'll go with Nick Zubner, even though he didn't play. So I'll take him. 2018 throwback gives me special teams value. Maybe not so much defensive value, but I'll take him.
Hey, man, got to do what you got to do.
Oh, my God, another fucking bot. Get out of here. What is happening today? My goodness. Jeez. Yeah, Jeremy Clary, I think that's an interesting debate technicality because he really was a guard in 2013, but it's okay.
He played right tackle all the other seasons. Until.
It's all good. All right, I'm not taking Sam Tevy or Trey Pipkins. I'm taking Joe Barksdale to be my right tackle. Okay. So there were some good seasons in there. 2015 allowed 46 pressures, 96 pass blocking efficiency, which is fine-ish. And then before he got hurt in 2017, he was on pace to have a career high in pass blocking efficiency with a 97.5. So only allowed 21 pressures in, I think, was that eight games? Yeah, eight games. So I'm cool with Joe Barksdale. He was fine in 2016. I would rather deal with just kind of not having a great player and rather just take like a solid guy than dealing with Sam Tevy, Storm Norton, Trey Pipkins stuff. So I'll take Joe Barksdale to be my right tackle.
I like it. Nice.
Now you can take your tight end if you want.
No, I'll just say it for the very last pick.
Well, you waited on right guard, and well, I guess you could put Fluker at right guard still. If you,
I could. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Fluker at right guard and take.
Yeah. You're going to take
They all suck. Honestly, they're all the same. Absolutely suck. But yeah, exactly. They're exactly the same. Do I prefer getting shot in the right or left eye?
God help me.
Okay, I'm between Sam Tevy and Trey Pipkins. Why did I do this to myself?
I think you go Tevy.
I think I would take Tevy as well.
It's definitely considering him as a left. If I consider him at left tackle as part of
unless you're a believer in the Trey Pipkins breakout movement, and then in that sense you could
in that sense you could
draft Trey Pipkins to be your tackle of the future if you believe that he's going to have that breakout year. But I think Sam Tevy definitely.
I think the board moved and glitched and broke because I said Tevy and Pipkins, and the board just didn't like me for that. So Sam Tevy is my pick there. My line is like not terrible from left tackle to center. They were fine. Right side's going to be a bit rough, but that's like 2021 Chargers. So I guess I'm just going with that. Final pick outside of tight end, because I get to keep waiting for that one.
You can't take Tiller, man. You can't do it.
Do it.
Automatically lose a poll if I do. You know, if they believe in him, I'm gonna go with Tito Agbonia here.
Wow.
There's some upside there, and I do feel like he can develop. There's more projection and future there. Damian Square, I like, but I don't know.
Did you forget a current Charger?
Yeah, I forgot Morgan Fox. That you're about to tell me.
Yeah.
It's too late, so I guess I did do Morgan Fox, which is fine. I might as well just do this now.
All forgot somebody at some point.
Tonight, Oops. Why did I keep doing that? Okay. Well, I didn't do Morgan Fox. Oh, well. I like Cotito.
All right. I'm going to fill my wide receiver three spot. I'm doing it. I'm taking Travis Benjamin.
Ooh.
I need some speed.
Statistically,
he's fine. And I'm not asking him to be a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, which he was technically paid to be their wide receiver two. Really, I'm going to do a ton of tight ends, two tight end sets in this fictional scenario. And Travis Benjamin is just going to be my speed guy. So. There's my offense officially filled out.
Nice. Benjamin, listen, like, what do you have, like 600 yards and 6 touchdowns in 2 years or whatever, or 2 separate years? Like, he was more productive than Guyton has been so far. That's not awful.
There was that one Kansas City game in 2018 where he was like the clutch guy, which was super random. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huge.
Let me pull up his actual stats before I messed this one up, but he had 677 yards, 4 touchdowns in his first season in San Diego, and then 2017 in LA, 567 and 4. So he was fine the first 2 years. It was just after that was shit.
Yeah, it's good production. It's more than Tyron Johnson had, honestly. So,
all right. Well, I'm at my last 2 picks now.
Yeah, you have your defensive flex and your quarterback.
All right, I'm going to put the quarterback in there first. I do have to take Tyrod Taylor. You could take him as the last pick of the draft, but I respect Tyrod enough that I don't think he should be Mr. Irrelevant of this draft. Obviously did not get to play many games as a Charger because of one pneumothorax and one Justin Herbert. But I think Tyrod, you look at what he did with the Bills, very solid quarterback, and he's my game manager. Very clearly the best of the quarterbacks of the Telesco era, not named Philip Rivers and Justin Herbert. And then for my last defensive flex spot, I'm actually going to go with someone who I'm slightly surprised is on the board, mainly because I didn't really think of him before. Nasir Adderley. You can kind of bet on him from youth, for breakout candidate. If he simply holds on to the football, he's probably off the board by this point in the draft because he would have had a better statistical year in 2020 and 2021. So I'll go with him, take him off the board, and I have a pretty decent safety rotation. Can't really say the same for my linebackers. And I can't say the same necessarily for my defensive tackles, but I do feel pretty confident with my edge groups and my safeties. And my corners, so I will finish off the draft with Nasir Adderley.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah,
Tyler, do you Hmm? Do you have anybody else left?
Nope, it's just you and your last pick.
Oh, really? All right. So I'm going to take Michael Davis with my last pick here. And we're going to essentially do what the Chargers are going to do this year, which is start Asante Samuel Jr. on the outside and then kick him inside when I want to go to my nickel packages. So obviously in this instance, I'm hoping for 2020 Michael Davis to show up. And, you know, maybe that guy still is in there. We'll see. But again, kind of bouncing out like I did with Travis Benjamin, needed some more speed, needed some more size. So I'll do that with Michael Davis with my very last pick, which I feel like for a last pick in this scenario, I feel like Michael Davis is a pretty good last pick.
Absolutely. No,
to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, people just went different directions with the corner, but him lasting this long, and if you have a flex option available, good stuff. All right, that's it. This is our, everybody can look at it in a big format.
All right, Tyler, run down your team first.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, so my team... quarterback Justin Herbert, he'll be throwing to Keenan Allen, Eddie Royal, and Tyron Johnson, as well as tight end Gerald Everett, who is on the team. The two running backs are Melvin Gordon. The two running backs are Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead. My offensive line is a proud group of King Dunlap, Matt Slauson, Corey Linsley, who are good, and then DJ Fluker and Sam Tevi. We'll just be running to the left. And then defensively, my edge rushers are Melvin Ingram and Khalil Mack. My interior defensive line is Kendall Reyes, Austin Johnson, and Otito Ogbonia. Linebackers are Kaiser White, Denzel Perryman. Then the safeties are Eric Weddle, Jahleel Adai, with my corners being Jason Verrett, Brandon Flowers, and Desmond King.
Interesting group of secondary players there. So my team, obviously, I have Phillip Rivers, wide receivers, a bit dry, but I have Josh Palmer, Dontrell Inman, and Travis Benjamin. With Ryan Matthews as my running back. And then I have both tight ends, Antonio Gates and Hunter Henry. My left tackle is Russell Okung, Zion Johnson, left guard, Scott Quessenberry, center, because I forgot that Nick Hardwick was on the team in 2013. And then Ode Abushi and Joe Barksdale rounding out my offense. And then defensively, I have Uchenna Nwosu, Kyle Van Noy as my edge rushers, Sebastian Joseph Day, Corey Legit, and Linval Joseph as my interior defensive linemen in this 3-4 scenario, with Drew Tranquil and Jatavis Brown as linebackers, and then Derwin James, Trey Boston, Casey Hayward, Asante Samuel Jr., and Michael Davis as my secondary players.
Yeah, I actually think in terms of who had the best secondary, I think Steven kind of won that one. Just in terms of it's a good combination of the current team, upside with Asante Samuel Jr. and some of the old days of the Jack Boys Chargers. So I actually do like that secondary group quite a bit. To run down my team, quarterbacked by Tyrod Taylor, with a bunch of receivers, Mike Williams, Malcolm Lloyd, and Tyrell Williams. I took all the wide receivers off the boards. So these guys couldn't have any, but they don't need receivers because they have Justin Herbert and Phillip Rivers. Austin Eckler is my running back. Trey McKitty is my tight end. And then my offensive line, which I think is really good, Rashawn Slater, Matt Filer, Mike Pouncey, Michael Schofield, and Jeremy Clary left to right. Jalen Guyton as my offensive flex player for those deep balls. Joey Bosa, Dwight Freeney as my edge players. Defensive tackles, Justin Jones, Brandon Meebane, and Darius Filon. That's a group that should tell you that the last 9 years have not been super healthy at that position. Kenneth Murray at linebacker, Nick Zubner at linebacker, and I have Adrian Phillips, Rayshon Jenkins as my safeties, and Sear Adderley also in that safety rotation as I took him as my defensive flex. I have J.C. Jackson and Trevor Williams as my corners. Probably should have also taken Asante there too, but also forgot he existed apparently.
Well, you can play Nasir Adderley in the slot a little bit, and Adrian Phillips can play the slot too, so you're good there. I've got to say though, like the linebacker thing with Nick DeZubnar, I was pretty surprised. I mean, you could have taken like Corey Toomer, one season of Corey Toomer. You know,
what's the difference? At this point? Just throw Zubner in there.
Could have done the Donald Butler thing. You could have put Kyle Van Noy at linebacker.
Could have, didn't. No point in harping on the past, even though we just spent the last hour and a half harping on the past.
There we go. Really fun exercise. You know, Tyler pitched this idea, and I love these just like really funky draft episodes. So I was very excited to hop on board here. Tyler, any final thoughts on your squad?
I have Justin Herbert, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Can you put the three of us back? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There we go. Yeah, you got Justin Herbert, so does it really matter that your offensive line probably the worst of the three?
Okay, chill. Chill. Scott Quessenberry at center.
Dave Dunlap and Sam Tevy. Edge rushers.
I mean, I got Zion and Odey and Russell Okung, man. I'm feeling good about my line.
Yeah, definitely.
And predictably, and I had the best offensive line out of all three of us.
I was low-key, like, hoping that I would get the third pick just so I could take Rashawn Slater to prove a point after yesterday.
Nope. I took him.
Good stuff. Alex, any final thoughts, man?
My team is a solid 8-9. I think, you know, maybe if a couple balls bounce the right way, maybe they get in that wild card 7th spot with Tyrod Taylor. But I like my offense that I crafted except for Tyrod Taylor. If I had gotten Justin Herbert, I would feel a lot better about my offense, or even if I had 100%. Gotten Philip Rivers. But Tyrod's solid, and I can win some games 17-16 with how I've made this team. So I feel okay with how that everything panned out, except for a couple oop, forgot that player's here kind of picks.
You're just living Anthony Lynn's dream, you know, playing 17-16 football.
Probably should be my coach. I mean,
So who gets Mike McCoy then, and who gets Brandon Staley?
I suppose I get Mike McCoy then.
Yeah, you drafted all those guys. You drafted all the guys that hate us.
Yeah, man.
It's a shame that all those guys hate us, because most of them were pretty good football players, but it's all good. So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. You know, like I said, I really like doing these funky little things. So we're going to figure out what we're going to do for our next episode. Maybe go back to some modern day rankings, but we have just under 30 days until training camp. So, you know, hopefully we get there sooner rather than later. So that's going to do it for us today, guys. As always, leave us a rating or review if you are listening to the podcast episode on an audio platform. If you are watching this on YouTube, please like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.